Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four delightful, talented, and experienced players of the game. And those four individuals are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Rob Brydon and Chris Neal. And will you please welcome all four of them? Thank you, thank you. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And seated beside me is Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Mermaid Theatre, which is in Puddle Dock near Blackfriars in the City of London. And we have an enthusiastic and extrovert audience here in front of us who are dying for the show to get started. So let's begin with Paul Merton and the subject, Paul, is The Girl Next Door. Tell us something about The Girl Next Door in this game, starting now.
The girl next door to me is beautiful. Her name is Clementine Freud. She has lovely eyes, a pert smile, legs like a kangaroo, goes like a train. Wonderful woman. As I look in her door, deep eyes.
Clement, you challenged.
Repetition.
Of what?
Ha.
Yes, he did say ha-ha, didn't he? That's right. As I said, his idiosyncratic way of playing the game. He could have said hesitation, it would have been so much easier. But all right, Clement, a correct challenge. So you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of The Girl Next Door. 47 seconds available, starting now.
Among the commandments, you are told to love your neighbour. And if that were natural, it wouldn't have to be a commandment. So the girl next door who...
Chris Challenge?
Oh, what? Was that a bit of a hesitation?
No.
Oh.
There was another error, but nobody spotted it. But carry on. So, Clement, it was an incorrect challenge.
There was no error.
What's that?
No error.
An incorrect challenge. You have a point for that. You have 35 seconds. You continue with The Girl Next Door, starting now.
I don't know the people next door, but I'm sure the girl next door is tremendously nice and attractive, and her name is Paulina Mertoni. She has blue eyes and green cheeks, red hair.
Paul Challenge.
I don't have green cheeks. Green cheeks, that's not very seductive, is it? Green cheeks?
Yes.
That's gangrene, isn't it?
You don't live next door.
I think if a girl had green cheeks, it would be pretty devious. It really
absolutely.
Would be. And rather embarrassing.
It would be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, terrible. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Give you the benefit of the doubt, Paul, and say you have the subject, a point, of course, 22 seconds available, The Girl Next Door, starting now.
It's a lovely phrase. I suppose it conjures up an image of the girl next door who may not be a beauty queen, but is nevertheless is some kind of beautiful woman in her own right.
Chris Challenge.
Did Paul say beautiful before?
No, he said beauty. Beauty
no, no,
queen.
No, but first time round about Clementine Freud.
Oh. Well, listen.
God, it's like being at a Nazi rally. Yeah.
No, but you, well, listen, she did say that Clementine Freud was beautiful, didn't she?
Well, I thought so.
Mm, yes, and you listened well. So you have a point and you have the subject. You have 15 seconds and you have the girl next door starting now.
The girl next door to me is called Phyllis. She's 64 and has gone through a terrible time over the last couple of years. She's lost her husband and mother and her dog. I really hope she's not listening because she's true and real and she does... Oh, I've said that. Oh, no, right?
Chris, you've done this last time you played the game. You let them know when you make a mistake.
I know.
Sometimes they let it go. And Paul's got in with 3 seconds to go. What's your
hesitation.
Challenge?
Paul?
Yes, right. 3 seconds on The Girl Next Door, starting now.
Helen Margaret Jones. What a gorgeous...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. In this case, it was Paul Merton, who's, of course, now got the lead at the end of the round. Chris Neal, will you take the next round? The subject is personal trainers. I don't know if you have one or not, but can you talk on the subject in just a minute, starting now?
If you're very fat and you earn a lot of money, it's much easier to book a personal trainer than it is to go on a diet.
Clement Challenge.
I just consider that to be an insult. That's great. Paul agrees.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Clement, they enjoyed your remark, but I don't think it's got anything to do with the rules of just a minute. So we give you a bonus point because you enjoyed the interruption. But, Chris, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. You keep the subject. You have 54 seconds. Personal trainers starting now.
I was driving across Clapham Common only the other week. Well, not off, over the grass, you know, but, you know, around the roads. And there was a very big fat bird who was being pulled by a...
full challenge.
Repetition of fat.
Yes, yeah. The fat. You said the fat before, yes, yes. A fat bird who was being pulled. Right, Paul, you have the subject of personal trainers. You have 44 seconds starting now.
I'm of a certain age and I can remember plimsolls, and that's all we had, and we were glad of it. But now, of course, the trainer has come out and they are remarkably comfortable shoes. I've just recently bought a pair which I'm wearing at the moment. You can't see them because they're underneath the table. But they are one of the more leading brands of particular trainer that you can buy in your supermarket or indeed your shoe retailer. Is this perhaps the most boring speech that's ever been on Just a Minute?
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
I've heard much more boring speeches.
but that's because you used to be an MP.
I meant from you.
Oh. You obviously don't listen to yourself talk, then, do you? Yeah.
Clement, because you've got such a strong reaction from the audience, I think it would only be fair to give you another bonus point. In fact, I think you're going to get all your points that way at the moment. But Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that, and he has 20 seconds to continue on personal trainers starting now.
There is a hygiene issue that comes into personal trainers, because if you don't change them enough, you don't use odour eaters, perhaps somewhere deep within the fabric.
Chris Challenge.
It was the repetition of don't.
Yes, oh, don't yes. Use them and don't, whatever it is. Chris, you
it sounded, it sounded like an audience at Wimbledon, yeah.
Yes, that's right. But their heads don't move quite as rapidly. The 13 seconds still available. Personal trainers, Chris, starting now.
I used to have a personal trainer of the piano. He was based in Twickenham and was bizarrely, he went by the name. Oh, we didn't know. I try.
Wrong.
I don't know. I try and then I fess up.
Rob, you've challenged.
What he said, he fessed up. But it was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. Rob, yes. Lovely to hear from
it's
you.
It's just nice to be involved, yes. Yes.
You've only played it twice before, Rob. It takes a little time to get that energy going, get into it. You'll be back there, don't worry. 6 seconds you've now got on. Personal trainers starting now.
My life turned round the day I took on a personal trainer. My abdomen...
So Rob Brydon was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. It's all very close at the moment. Paul Merton's one ahead of Clement Freud, one ahead of Chris Neal, one ahead of Rob Brydon. In that order, Rob, will you take the next round? The subject is platforms. Will you tell us something about platforms in just a minute, starting now?
Train spotters in anoraks with sandwich boxes and thermos flasks and books and pens love to stand on platforms around the country. When I think of the word in question, my mind goes back to the 1970s when I would gaze at the television watching people like Sweet and Mud and the Glitter Band, and the shoes that they wore were known as platforms. And I would love to wear these things. I'd come down the stairs in them, teetering along, and my father would inquire whether I'd applied for planning permission. That was how big these things were. Of course, for a man of diminished stature like me, that type of footwear affords an opportunity to gaze down on one's fellow disco raver from an unaccustomed height, and to adopt a rather superior attitude to the other movers and shakers at the local discotheque as they endeavour to get down to the late... Ooh.
Rob! That applause was well-deserved. I said you've only played the game twice before, but to come back... And for the first time, no hesitation, no repetition, no deviation.
And I've not even given you any hints or anything.
Right. And go on your platforms. So you get a point, of course, for speaking as the whistle went. And you get a bonus point because you were not interrupted. Oh. So, Why you're now in second place with Clement Freud. There we are. So,
thank you.
Well done. No, you can relax
thank
now.
Thank you very much.
And Paul Merton, your turn to begin again. The subject is the call of nature. Will you tell us something about the call of nature in 60 seconds, starting now?
I love being in nature, down by the sea, sniffing in the ozone. It's a wonderful experience to feel the grass underneath your feet. A distant owl hooting in the treetops. Where's my gun, I wonder? I run back into the house. It's a wonderful thing to be surrounded by all that God has created on this wonderful earth of us. I think I said wonderful twice.
Right. Clement Challenge.
Repetition of wonderful.
Yeah. Yes, Clement, you have the call of nature. I don't mean really, this is the subject. You have the company for the call of nature, and you have 43 seconds starting now.
It is a philological euphemism for leak.
Rob Challenge.
Philological? Mm. Oh, it is a word, isn't it? Mm. Sorry. I was so confident, and then it went.
You thought it was deviation. More than
I thought philological wasn't a word.
I thought it was something to do with stamp collecting.
No, no, that is philately.
Oh.
Yes.
And it'll get you everywhere.
So, Clement, you have another incorrect challenge. There's 37 seconds, the call of nature starting now.
Philology is very important if you're trying to get new words, like leak or urinate, instead of call of nature, but call of nature it is, and it's odd because nature does depend incredibly on the liquid which we distribute over the grasses and bushes and flowers.
Just challenge.
Deviation. Nature doesn't depend on the liquid that we distribute over grasses and ferns and... Well, not us.
Well, actually, and I think it comes up a very unpleasant idea of distributing your liquid all over the countryside.
Yeah, when people do that...
Oh, look, there's Sir Clement Freud coming over the hill. What is he doing? Oh, look, the sun's behind him. You can see a rainbow. Look for the pot of gold.
Yes, I don't think it's our calls of nature that are the ones that make nature achieve what it does. So, Chris, I agree with your challenge, deviation. You have 16 seconds on the subject of the call of nature starting now.
Of course, the call of nature depends on the animal that you're talking about. It could be woof, bar.
A poor challenge.
No, sorry, I thought you were trying to say wolf, and it came and it came out as woof, so I thought, but then I'd forgotten there was a word called woof. But when you said bark, I realised what context you were talking in.
11 seconds, Chris, you'll still have the subject, starting now.
Meow, cluck.
Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
I think he's confusing the call of nature with the sound of wildlife.
But is the call that nature makes...
No, he's correct. That's a very good challenge. The calls of nature.
On your head be it, Nicholas.
The call of nature is the atmosphere when you get with the smells of the grass and the trees...
Once you've peed on them.
I don't. I think those are the extraneous sounds. They're not the calls of nature. They're the calls of the animals in the world of the natural world. I'm struggling, but I hope I'm getting there. Right.
Very good, Chairman.
9 seconds, Clement, starting now.
The call of nature could be wind, rain, hail, even storms. Lightning makes a very small noise, but thunder.
So Clement Freud speaking as a whistle-wind gained an extra point, and also I'm very grateful because he did give us a very explicit account of the calls of nature as opposed to the animal calls that Chris was arguing about, and the audience seemed to be in sympathy with him. I don't know why.
Right.
Maybe it's a strange impression of nature. Chris, it's your turn to begin. So there we are. American pronunciations. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Can you talk on the subject starting now?
I read in a magazine some time ago that apparently people on the east coast of the United States of America have an accent which isn't dissimilar from the Elizabethan accent that we had here. Oh, I said accent twice.
Yes, you did.
And I was going to say something so interesting.
Oh. I will say one thing. You've got the audience with you.
Should we stop the game for a moment while Chris tells us what it was? and then we can carry on.
I think it's more important to keep the game going, Paul, and you challenge first for repetition, we know. 49 seconds, American pronunciation starting now.
Americans say Edinburgh. Why do they say that? It's not difficult. Edinburgh is not a difficult name to pronounce. Oh, too difficult. No, I said Edinburgh. So he's too challenged.
Rob, you challenged.
That would have been me. Yeah, yes. Well, I'm sorry, but repetition.
Yes. 43 seconds, Rob. American pronunciation starting now.
As the planet has shrunk, the difference between pronunciation of the...
Chris, challenge.
Oh, the planet hasn't shrunk.
I think that's unfair.
I mean, he's done lots of things. I don't think it has it shrunk.
No.
I don't want to get caught up in a fight, but I'm not going to forget this.
Oh, dear.
You may laugh. You may laugh. They said David Icke was mad, OK?
So. Yes, but they were psychiatrists.
Chris, 38 seconds. American pronunciation starting now.
I was in Los Angeles for about a month last year, and I was somewhere where I was trying... Oh, I keep saying I was.
In the Clement Challenge.
Oh, you kept saying I was.
I was, yes. All the buzzers went, but Clements came in first. 33 seconds, American pronunciations, Clements, starting now.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain is not American pronunciation. In hot...
Paul, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
It's not American pronunciation. Wasting our time.
Paul, a very good challenge. You have the subject now. 24 seconds, starting now.
Leicester Square. That's another one that you often hear. When you're looking for Leicester's...
Clement Chance.
I've never heard Leicester Square.
You never heard Leicester Square?
No.
Now, the Americans do say Leicester Square.
Okay. Like that, but they don't do it in a Greek accent. That's the only difference.
No, but you, if they spoke like that, you wouldn't mock them. But just because I put on an American accent, you do.
Yeah.
Is that what you put on?
Yeah. Oh, they're evil, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, you enjoy it, don't you? That's the trouble. There we are. it was an incorrect challenge, and American pronunciations are still with you, Paul. 19 seconds starting now.
All kinds of terms have been associated with Americans over the years. They come up with such phrases as friendly fire, which of course is nothing anything but. Nothing anything but.
Chris, challenge.
Well, it was a sort of deviation from English, or sort of nothing anything but that sentence there.
No, which... no, it wasn't. It wasn't deviation from English. He could have. He just didn't continue.
Yeah. Hesitation.
Look, normally within the rules of Just a Minute, I don't give second challenges. But, Rob, as you have only played it twice before, and also you were very upset about my last decision, I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say you have American pronunciation.
Excuse me, I've been upset with a lot of your decisions over here. I just keep quiet about it.
Well, you should come in more often, then maybe you'll get some more points. Right. 9 seconds, Rob. American pronunciation starting now.
Although the planet hasn't changed in its dimension over time, it is nonetheless a...
Paul Chalmers.
The planet's changed dimension enormously over time. Started off as a tiny little ball like that. Now it's the size of Basingstoke and more. Not always been that size.
But that's not the subject. It's actually, American pronunciation.
Which I was getting to. That was my preamble.
Right.
It's not called Just an Hour.
Just like last time, this is institutionalised abuse and prejudice.
No, it's not as organised as that.
I was very generous to you last month.
Nicholas, I think I was completely in the wrong.
Right.
Welcome, it's not just myself,
welcome to the sky at night, please. Let's get back to Just a Minute. Paul, what was your challenge when the rules of Just a Minute?
Who can remember? No, because Rob said it's always been the same size throughout its entire history, which of course it hasn't, because when it first started, it was a tiny little thing like that. And it acquired matter amount of space as meteorites and various things came in, and it got bigger.
Well done. Congratulations. It's got nothing to do with American pronunciations.
No, exactly.
Right, so that's
but it was deviation.
Thank you. You have 3 seconds on American pronunciation starting now.
The earth is flat, said President Bush last week.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained another extra point, and he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. They're only just ahead of Chris Neal and Rob Brighton in that order. And Rob, your turn to begin. The subject now is shopping online. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Shopping online makes the whole business of purchasing little trinkets and baubles so much easier. You can sit in front of your monitor and peruse at your leisure a range of goods and services from stores not just in the UK, by which I mean Scotland, Wales, England and Ireland, but also America. Oh, I know.
Now, I've got a problem here, because normally whoever presses their buzzer first, infinitesimally first, one light comes on. I've got two lights here.
Probably best if I just carry on, then.
I think the audience applause has decided it for me. So I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say, carry on.
Your eye alights on something that you fancy, and you maneuver your mouse so that the clicker is over the right point. You press down on that little instrument and select what you want. Remember, you will have to pay postage and packing, as this item is being sent across the ether and...
Chris Challenge.
Deviation. You don't always have to pay postage and packing.
It will be contained in the price if it's not stated
well,
separately.
It's not separate.
Chris, you get nothing for free, my friend.
You don't always have to, Chris, but you do sometimes, so he wasn't actually technically deviating on this subject. So, 22 seconds, Rob. You continue shopping online, starting now.
The excitement is just beginning. Every morning you will pad down to the letterbox to see if your parcel has arrived.
Clement Challenge.
I just wanted to help him. He can say shopping online again.
Thank you.
He has taken such great trouble not to repeat the subject.
Oh, that's very generous of you.
No, it's fine.
You can
Nothing.
Repeat the subject on the
Least
car
I
as
can
often
do.
As you like. So, carry on, 15 seconds, shopping online starting now.
Shopping online is so delightful, you say to yourself, as your eyes stare out of the window, waiting for the mailman to arrive, his sack bulging in the distance as he pads up the path towards your...
Paul Challenge.
He had two pads.
Right. Yes, he padded up with the mailman.
It's no good booing him. How do you think that makes him feel?
Jesus. He's had a very good run, you know. So, Paul, you've got him with 4 seconds on shopping online.
Do you have a problem with that?
I have to point out to our audience, it is the rules of the game. 4 seconds, Paul. Shopping online, starting now.
Shopping online has completely altered my life. What I do is I get up in the morning, I turn on the computer and I buy new, I say.
So, Paul was speaking then as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's now 2 ahead of Clement Freud. We're moving into the final round, and they're both, Clement Freud's just 4 ahead of Chris Neal and Rob Brighton, who are equal in third place. So it's still very close as we move into the final round, and it is Clement's turn to begin, and the subject is men with moustaches. We don't have a single moustache. Oh, we do have one moustache. And, Clement, will you talk? With such a modest one, I hadn't noticed it. Right. Men with moustaches. Starting now.
For a man with only one moustache, to talk about men with moustaches would be much more difficult had it not been for the fact that not all that long ago, everybody had moustaches. George the...
Chris Challenge.
Sorry, deviation. Not everybody had moustaches.
Yes. Not everybody.
Every man, woman and child had a moustache.
Yeah. Come to think of it.
Chris, I agree with you. Not everyone had moustaches. Most men had moustaches. 46 seconds, men with moustaches with you, Chris, starting now.
Kissing a man with a moustache, although it's something I've never done, doesn't appeal to me. However, it's probably nicer than kissing a woman with a moustache.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of kissing.
Yeah. You can't have enough, though, can you?
Clement, you've got the subject back. 39 seconds, men with moustaches, starting now.
Henry I had a moustache. as did the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. William and Mary. Only
Paul Jones.
There was a hesitation after Mary.
I think there was, yes.
There was always a hesitation after William and Mary.
Was there? Oh, if it's traditional, then I withdraw the...
No, it was correct, Paul. 28 seconds. Men with moustaches starting now.
Every man in Iraq has got a black moustache. I find that ridiculous. They can't all think it suits them.
Clement Challenge.
No, they don't.
I didn't hear Clement, sorry.
No, they don't.
But you said before that everybody in the world had a moustache. No, I just narrowed it down to one sex and one country, and suddenly you pipe up.
Yeah. I lost.
Did you?
And you have too.
Oh, that's okay. He's trying to make decisions for you, though, right. Nicholas. Chairman we've got. Best chairman.
No, I'm just giving you your head so that we get as much entertainment.
Much.
And,
just the subject would be enough for me.
No, no. You don't always hear the subject. You're very funny in between the subjects, which is great. Clement, there are 25 seconds. Men with moustaches starting now.
When you have men with moustaches trying to drink soup, especially a velouté, a cream rather than a consommé or a clear broth, they get awful trouble because bits of Chinese cabbage, wood pigeon and tapioca retains a hold on the hirsute part of their...
I think up here we were all so transfixed by that disgusting description you gave us that nobody bothered to challenge. But you did keep going to the whistle when Clement. You got an extra point for doing so, and well done, good luck to you. The final situation is that, I don't know how you describe this, but I put it this way, because they're equal, there are two lots of equals. Chris Neal and Rob Brydon were equal in second place. And only six points ahead was another equal, and Paul Merton and Clement Freud were equal together, and we say, therefore, they are joint winners this week. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it remains me to say thank you again to our four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Rob Brydon, Chris Neal, and Clement Freud. I thank Dennis Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle very elegantly. Also, we thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game, and we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Mermaid Theatre at Puddle Block in the centre of London. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute!